NPR.
Rifles, drones, missiles, weapons of war. In recent days, the U.S. and NATO members have been sending military equipment to Ukraine by the ton. That's Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in a recent speech. And what he's saying is they need even more weapons.
The U.S. and NATO have promised more weapons to Ukraine, but actually delivering on that promise can be complicated.
Vince Castillo knows this firsthand. In the late 2000s, Vince was a U.S. Army soldier deployed in Iraq. And he led a platoon responsible for providing security for shipments of military equipment.
The term that we used was combat logistics patrols, or a CLIP, a CLP. And so I gained a lot of experience escorting goods in an active combat zone.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Adrian Ma.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. What does it take to deliver weapons into a war zone? Vince says the process shares a lot of similarities with the supply chains for online retailers like Amazon or Walmart. Except in this case, the stakes are much, much higher.
We're not talking about a late delivery. We're talking about a country trying to protect its sovereignty.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from 10,000, a premium men's training apparel brand. Take on the gym, track, trail, or home workout in the highest quality, most comfortable gear. With features like anti-odor protection and no-chafe liner, 10,000's gear is designed with purpose and packed with functionality for the everyday athlete. Backed by a lifetime guarantee and more than 13,000 five-star customer reviews. Head to 10,000.cc/NPR to save 15%.
When Vince Castillo was in Iraq doing combat logistics patrols, he says his responsibility was basically figuring out how to get the right stuff in the right quantity to the right place at the right time.
It sounds like you were basically doing the job of a logistician.
Yeah. And the thing is, I wasn't a logistics officer. I was an infantry officer. But I guess that was the first time in my career where I started dabbling in logistics. Hmm.
After his deployment in Iraq, Vince eventually transitioned out of the military.
And I didn't really feel like getting a real job, so I decided to become an academic.
He went on to become a logistics professor at The Ohio State University, where he studies things like online retail. And lately, as he's been watching news about countries sending weapons to Ukraine, he's had this thought.
There are a lot of similarities between the military supply chain and commercial supply chains, like those supply chains that allow us to be able to receive online orders right on our doorsteps. When they're working correctly, you'd never know they're there. But when things are going wrong, the pain is felt everywhere.
Vince says the e-commerce supply chain provides a rough analogy for understanding how weapons are making their way into Ukraine. He says you can basically think about it as having three stages. In logistics lingo, these are called the first mile, the middle mile, and the last mile.
So first up, the first mile. This is where stuff is being transported from a supplier to a manufacturer. Second up, the middle mile. This involves moving goods from the manufacturer to a distribution point, like a warehouse. And from there, number three, the final mile, this is where products go from that warehouse to the customer.
So Vince says this framework can also be used to understand how weapons are moved into a combat zone. And just to be clear, Vince does not have any inside information about, like, where shipments are going into Ukraine.
Also, I feel like if he did have inside information, we would not want to share that.
Yeah, this might be a different kind of podcast. I did reach out to the Pentagon, but they did not get back to us. But based on Vince's background in the military and his logistics expertise, he said he could talk generally about what is likely happening there. So for the first mile of this military supply chain, Vince says, think of the military itself as the supplier of weapons.
Whether it's machine guns, rifles, body armor, anti-air, Stinger missiles, the U.S. has stocks of weapons all over Europe, bases throughout Germany, Italy, Turkey. And depending on where those items that are needed in Ukraine, they're being pulled from U.S. Army bases throughout Europe.
One of these weapons is called a Javelin. I've actually never seen a Javelin missile, so I'm pulling one up. Let's see. It is like a, it looks like it's launched out of like a kind of a tube with what looks like little spiky propellers on it.
It kind of looks like a bazooka because you hoist it on your shoulder.
Except the Javelin fires a heat-seeking missile. And these heat-seeking missiles are very powerful. They can take out a tank. And the U.S. has committed thousands of these Javelins to Ukraine. A lot of them came from European stockpiles. And Vince says these weapons were probably flown in bulk from somewhere in Europe to military bases of NATO members, countries along Ukraine's western border, places like Poland and Romania. And when they arrive at these places, that first mile part of the journey is complete.
Next comes the middle mile. And for this leg of the journey, Vince says that shipment of Javelins is likely crossing the border by ground, making its way to Ukrainian cities near the fighting. And this is where things start to get dicey. Because think about it. For one thing, these products being moved are not any old widgets, right? They are often fragile or super bulky or explodey.
Not only that, right? I mean, this supply chain has to be protected because enemy forces are looking for these shipments.
Any information about the timing and location of shipments, it's all going to be classified to the maximum extent possible.
You don't have like a truck that says like, no guns in here.
Yeah, definitely nothing like that.
When Vince was in Iraq, he says the shipments he escorted were these miles-long caravans of vehicles.
Convoys that were comprised of anywhere from 20 up to maybe 50 or even 60 big rig trucks.
In other words, a huge target for Russian tanks, planes, and helicopters.
So ideally, you want to break it down into smaller shipments. Smaller convoys are a little bit more agile. And if there's more of them, it can be like a game of whack-a-mole for Russia, and it can be harder to deal with.
And if you want to protect your supply chain, you have to be able to whack back if you need to. Vince says this can be done by positioning armed soldiers along a route, soldiers who have Javelins of their own, or Stinger missiles, or other weapons.
My platoon had all of the gun trucks. So our job was to plan the routes that we were going to take and send out gun trucks that would travel a few miles ahead of the main body of the convoy. And we would strategically place a number of gun trucks throughout the convoy as well.
Of course, avoiding a firefight can also be good. And to that end, soldiers moving weapons can do a number of things to try and mask their movements.
Things like taking different routes, varying the times at which you're traveling. Most of these convoys will likely be moving at night. And there's going to be fewer civilians on the road at night. So any movements would be less likely to expose civilians to being attacked as well.
And that's important because at some point, an attack may become inevitable.
Yes. And so back to our hypothetical supply chain of Javelins. Let's say it has now made it safely to that middle mile city in Ukraine. The journey is not over yet. This cargo still has to complete the final mile of our supply chain. Remember, in the customer supply chain, that is where the goods go from the distribution warehouse to your house.
That final mile in the military combat zone is where the goods are going to reach the soldiers who are actually going to be using them. This process is usually one of the most precarious because that's where you're closest to active combat.
Big shipments get broken down into smaller ones, and then intelligence is used to decide what goes where.
So, for instance, some areas may be seeing more Russian tanks than others. The Javelins, the anti-tank missiles that are included in those shipments, would then need to go to whichever areas that have more tank activity than, say, light infantry activity from Russian soldiers.
So there you go. The three-step journey of a Javelin missile. And that, hypothetically speaking, is how weapons are delivered into a war zone.
Now, reports about how this is actually going down in Ukraine are, of course, not that detailed, but NPR and other media outlets have reported that NATO members have had success moving weapons across the country's western border.
But as this conflict drags on, there is a lingering question. Will it be enough? Or to put it in logistics terms, will enough of the right equipment get to the right place, into the right hands, in time? This episode was produced by Nikki Willett with help from Isaac Rodriguez. It was fact-checked by Corey Bridges.
Our senior producer is Viet Le. Our editor is Kate Concannon. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.